What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks powered by The Nation, and you're listening to episode 222. Today is the 1st of May, we're recording after taking last week off and coming in to do a quick little catch up on things. You know, don't want to leave you guys hanging, want to get an episode out for you guys at least every other week, especially during this slow time. And so this should be a quick episode talking a little bit about Texas Tech basketball. We have a new transfer that is coming in, so we'll talk about him, give out some names to watch, quick little dive in on football players who are drafted, baseball and that roller coaster, and then we'll get out of here for the week. So lots to discuss. Quick episode for you guys, but to catch everything we're doing here at Tailgate Talks during this summer slow sports time, follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify, give us those five stars for the Tailgate. And if you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. We always appreciate those. Also follow our social media accounts. We're on Twitter at Tailgate_talks. That's where we do most of our posting, most of our interacting with things. So follow us there. But we do have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel. So if you feel inclined, go follow those other accounts. And lastly, if you have anything you would like us to discuss on the show, comments, questions, anything, you can always shoot us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
We're going to start this thing off right. Raiders! Man, I've been waiting all my life to do this.
All right, Dustin, and it's been 2 weeks since we last hopped on the pod. Let's just get a status check of how you've been doing over the course of transfer portal madness as names get entered, players make decisions. How are you holding up?
It's a little roller coastery, not a big roller coaster, just a little loops, up and downs.
Right.
I'm glad that today's the last day of entries. Kind of go back to what I said last time, that the schedule of the portal sucks and is stupid, because his last week of April and beginning of May, you've had quite a few pretty good names go in at the last minute. But you already had quite a few schools go ahead and fill those spots, so they're not as aggressive. Like, timing of it's just weird, but yeah, like losing some guys. Kentucky's been on a roll. Indiana's been bringing a lot of guys in, Baylor as well. The Big 12 is going to be loaded, but now we're back up on the Red Raider side as we start to get a few guys coming in.
Yeah, it's been an interesting time. I think people are still adjusting to the new norm that is the transfer portal and all of this stuff, and wanting news while you're seeing other teams, bring in players. And then, if you have a slow week, everybody gets a little antsy. On some of the message boards, a lot of breakdowns, a lot of people panicking, a lot of people looking for some small little bit of news to soothe them, to keep them going. It's a time you got to, preach patience. I think everybody thinks that you're going to get all these players so fast, but in reality, it takes time. It's a process. And so I still think people are getting used to it. I still think it's going to take a couple more years for people to kind of settle in on things, but it's a good time. And as you mentioned, today is the last day for transfer portal entries. There was a ruling made a couple weeks ago that's the deadline for even the grad transfers as well, where we had assumed that there would be a little bit more time for the grad transfers, but that is not the case. They have until the end of the day today as well. So there won't be any other batch of transfer portal players, I think, until maybe after summer school. I'm not sure. Yeah, so no.
No, I think this is it for this year/season. Same with football. If you're not in by the end of today, you're on that team or on whatever team you end up deciding to commit to. Now, there's no deadline for that besides getting into school. But, if you're not in, you're sticking where you're at.
I think there's special reasoning, like if like the Bob Huggins situation last year where your coach gets fired in July. I think like you're only that program has you players have a few days to decide whether they want to transfer out or not. So like if a unforeseen circumstance like that happens, there might be additional players. But for right now, all the players at the end of the day who aren't in the portal are locked in. And all the players who are in the portal are that those are the guys that you have available to choose from. So today's actually been kind of slow. There's been a couple names trickle through, but really hasn't been just constant with portal entries, which is kind of what I think a lot of people are expecting today. But on the Red Raider front, you haven't seen any of your Texas Tech players enter the portal today. So that's good news. I know Kerwin and some of these guys haven't. Kerwin and Emily might be the only two who didn't like do a run it back post or confirm that they're coming back. But
I can also see them just either being oblivious to it or not caring to post it.
That too.
Kerwin's like, oh, I needed to say that. Sorry, I've been shooting.
Yeah, we don't need the run it back post, but we did get one from Chance McMillan, a guy who was expected to return for his last year of eligibility. So we did get one of those confirmations from him. And so we appreciate that. Your thoughts on, anything Chance McMillan with his post?
Again, like with our other starter returning, McMillan declaring he was returning was, not shocking, but glad to see, comforting. This is a good word for it, to have like probably your most energetic guy last year, definitely a guy off the bench that made a huge impact for you. And I think you have a pretty high ceiling for in the next year or two with him. Like, so big upside. And he was one of your biggest recruiters this last weekend when you had some guys in on campus. So really good dude to have back with your program.
Yeah. Love to see him running it back. His shooting, his ability to create a shot, I think was a little underrated last year. I think he didn't have as many opportunities to create shots, but when he needed to, he could get to his spot. Real impressive for you off the bench. Great six man, a guy who can knock 9 threes down in a game, 6 threes, had some big moments for you. So love having him back. Him and Darian are like two of the players that you just kind of circled. Like you really want these guys back. Were efficient, really good players on both sides of the ball for you. I think Chance could develop a little bit more defensively, get a little bit bigger maybe, and see if that helps him on that side of the ball. But players that you are going to enjoy watching in a Red Raider uniform for one more year, and a player that we will get to introduce ourselves to over the offseason and get ready to watch for his final season of eligibility is Elijah Hawkins, the latest commitment to the Texas Tech Raiders. Red Raiders. He announced his commitment to play for Grant McCaslin and Co. yesterday. It was a nice Tuesday. He had there was rumors that he was planning on doing a visit to Kentucky. I think Texas Tech felt like they were in a good position with him, but obviously we've seen Kentucky throw out money left and right, and so I think that had us a little bit nervous. But he decided not to go to do his Kentucky visit, which and then commit to Texas Tech. So big commitment for Grant and company, a 5'11", 165-pound point guard, a guy who is a true point guard who has been one of the best assist point guards in the country ever since he stepped foot on a college basketball court. He's averaged 9.5 points per game, 3.6 rebounds per game, and 7.5 assists per game, which last year was good for second in the country. He also shoots the ball at a 36% clip from the three-point range. So a guy who can kind of do it all. Elite passer, that's the main thing you got to focus on with Elijah Hawkins. He was had a 38% assist rate, which is very good. And he recorded 7 or more assists in 20 games last season. He had a high of 17 assists, which was a Minnesota program record. So, Dustin, Elijah Hawkins is officially a Red Raider. How are you feeling about that commitment?
That's a huge get because we needed a point guard, starting point guard, to bring the ball up, handle the team, handle the offense. And this is probably one of the best ones out there this year, this season. So to be able to get him, the 5'11 part doesn't worry me with the production that you see and the efficiency that you see. I know we were worried about that with like guys like Pop and Joe last year being smaller dudes, but when you're still getting 10 and 7 plus assists, like I think you're doing pretty good. And I think he only had like 90 turnovers last year. So,
the efficiency, assists, like I think
Grant and company want, is very high. That's what they look for. You hinted on the assist ratio, 7 plus and 30 some percent, but like he recorded 247 assists last year, which was a school record at Minnesota. Do you know what our school record is?
I do not, actually.
I got thinking last night because I was like, this dude go to two different schools and go back to back school records? Oh, he definitely can. John Roberson in 08-09 had 212.
Wow.
So we're talking 35 more assists. To give you another frame of reference, Joe Toussaint is 10th on that list with 146, 100 less.
God damn.
100 more assists on the board for Elijah there.
Damn. That's some good stats right there. Yeah, that really does put in perspective what he was able to do last year at Minnesota, which, you know, a team that didn't make the tournament, a team that struggled in the Big Ten. And so now he takes that talent here. See what he can do with a little bit better roster, better players around him, help create for, get guys like Chance McMillan, Kerwin Wall, wide open threes, create for Darian Williams, and create for some of these big guys that we are kind of looking at. Like, this is just a really enticing point guard, and something that I think you really needed was just a true big point guard like this, create for other players. You know, I think, and play within himself. I liked Joe and I appreciated everything Joe gave you. It just sometimes he's just a little too erratic, a little too much on the offensive side. Just kind of slow it down. Don't play so herky jerky.
Same with Pop there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like a smooth point guard who's confident in himself, controls the ball, controls the pace, knows when to push the pace and stuff like that. And so that's what you're getting in Elijah Hawkins, a really good find for Grant McCaslin and this staff, a great addition for this Texas Tech basketball team. Any other little tidbits on Elijah Hawkins that you wanted to discuss?
And he's just another senior guy to add to this team. So he's got a lot of experience from being at Howard and then at Minnesota for a couple of years.
Yeah. Experience is a key that you definitely see with McCaslin and his company, especially when you're talking about guys who are going to be in control of the ball in that point guard role. He's really looked to senior guys, Joe Toussaint, now Elijah Hawkins in that role. So you're kind of getting, and he's, you know, Joe is 6 foot, Elijah Hawkins, 5'11". So, you know, kind of similar builds, I think, from what I've seen of both players. I just think you're going to get a much smoother looking performance from Elijah Hawkins, which will kind of be nice to see after having Davion Harmon and then Joe Toussaint back-to-back years.
Yeah, like you mentioned, that's a great point. But, like, I just thought of how much Kerwin and Chance are going to love this, just sitting in the corners and wings, just waiting on threes, dude. And, like, I don't think Minnesota had a Chance or a Kerwin sitting there to make six or seven threes a game, possibly.
Yeah, it really energizes an offense. You know, I heard people talking about this the other day, just kind of in terms of the NBA with guys like Halliburton. And when you have just these great passers, what that does for an offense, what that does on a transition. Oh, if I get here, he's going to find me. He's going to give me an open look. And you're just, you want to play better because you know that guy's going to give you opportunities. And so it'll be interesting to see what he brings to this offense this next season. And so excited for this commit Other players to keep an eye on right now, as right now you have Kevin Overton, you have Feedy times two, and you have Elijah Hawkins confirmed. You still have five scholarships to give out. Still plenty of room and plenty of roster space to fill out right now. There's about four names that Tech is big in talks with that you need to watch over the next week or so. JT Toppin being at the top of that list. A transfer out of New Mexico, was the freshman of the year in the Mountain West Conference.
Wink,
wink. Yep, yep. The new Darian Williams, some would say. Announced he is entering the transfer portal just yesterday. Or was it 2 days ago?
He came in on Tuesday, I'm pretty sure.
Came in on Tuesday. He was much speculated to enter the transfer portal, but it kind of seemed like it was getting later and later and later. Maybe he was content with staying at New Mexico, but ultimately hits the portal. And Texas Tech has been, we've been rumored to be in this for a while, tampering, wink, wink there. But hey, we got some connections. That walk-on kid that we got was teammates with JT Toppin.
Pulled up, ready to go.
Buff knows him. Other connections you have for him, Dustin?
No, I was going to mention that. Looking at
Jazz
the
Henderson.
List of who we have. But yeah, Jazz Henderson, walk-on from Oak Cliff Family, Faith Family Academy. That's a mouthful. Same place that Toppin went to last year, graduated from. Good connections. The tampering
Buff is
part.
A connection. Yeah.
The tampering part made me laugh because literally a FAU kid entered the portal Tuesday and then Wednesday, today, he went to Arkansas. Yeah, like,
okay.
Everybody's talking no matter if you're in or not. Like, it's whatever.
Oh, yeah. I have no issues with it if it's allowed. And it's allowed. So, and it seems like we've got to jump on him. A lot of people feel pretty good about this JT Toppin coming here, that this might be Texas Tech's to lose. So that puts us in a great spot. I know we're working on getting a visit with him at the moment. I've heard some rumors that it might not even take a visit to get him.
That'd be great.
But that would be fantastic. But nonetheless, would like a visit, get this guy on campus. As I said, freshman of the year in the Mountain West Conference. That's worked out for the Red Raiders in the past, so would like that. Another name to look out for, Great Obasor, the transfer out of Utah State. Dustin, any thoughts on Great and Toppin and just kind of those two guys in general and what they could bring?
Yeah, obviously I would love to get both of these kind of power forward, big guy type dudes. I don't know that we can get both of them. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know if they kind of play the same position or not. I think Great might be better around the rim where Toppin can get outside a little more. Obviously, we saw last year that you can never have too many big men, and other teams just rolling out multiple seven-footers. And while these guys might not be seven-footers, they're really good athletes. Great. His numbers just jump off to me like, this dude's a dog.
Yeah,
I didn't watch any of Utah State's games, but, I mean, they've won 25-plus games last year, I'm pretty sure, and were really good. And
made the second round of the tournament.
19-9 and multiple double-doubles in there to average those. Like, that's just a dog-type dude to me and would fit our team and the culture that Grant's trying to make really, really well.
Yeah, I would love to have both these guys. Like you said, I don't know how realistic it is to land both of them. It would be great if you were. It would make me think a little bit of the Bryson Williams, Kevin O'Banner combination that we had.
Yeah.
Mark Adams' first year, where it's like they weren't the biggest of dudes, but they had size and they were both really, really good offensive players for you in certain situations. And so you can win without having you don't need a 7-footer if you're getting guys like these who are going to be really good. And then you got Feedy, who is, almost 7 foot coming off the bench for you. So these would obviously be huge additions for this staff if you were able to get them. I know Great right now is on a visit to Louisville.
Right.
We are kind of viewed to be in the finalists with Shadow. Get out! Getting infiltrated by a cat right now. I know we're the finalists with Washington and Louisville. Kentucky took themselves out of the race by signing a bunch of guys that would be that position. So that's kind of the teams to look out for. Great is supposed to come this weekend for a visit. So the goal right now is we got to get him to a visit. We can't let him get that commitment with Louisville before then. I think if you can get him on campus, I would feel really good about that.
But
if you're able to get one or the other on this, you know, you're going to take either one of those guys and feel really good about it. Some other names to keep an eye on. One that kind of surfaced the other day is Nate Santos, a transfer out of Dayton, name that I saw on the Scarlet and Black Insider. Go give that website a subscription if you want to get information from Austin Massey, RC Maxfield, and all those guys. They're pretty well connected. They dropped this name that we're heavily involved in. Looks like he could be a, you know, guard off the bench for you, another wing option. I don't have his stats yet. I kind of usually wait to read stats if we get the guy, because I don't want to get our hopes built up and then, you know, have our hearts, you know, ripped away from us. But was a guy on a Dayton team that made the NCAA tournament, obviously. So a winning program, I think, was, you know, one of their top three players. I know Kobe Brea was their best shooter, who just committed to Kentucky earlier. And so a good player there. And then Kevin Patton Jr. is another player I've seen us linked to. He's a guard out of San Diego. So those are other names kind of right now that Tech is in the hunt on. Those are the four names I've heard. There's probably some other guys that we've reached out to, but I don't know if any talks have really taken off there. So any other kind of thoughts you have, any other interests you have, Dustin, as the portal closes today, you know?
The other interest I had, just personally, I don't think he's on the radar, is Davide Moretti's brother got into the portal.
Seen a lot of Tech fans be like, come on, let's do it. Backup point guard for you, maybe?
I mean, I see it, but he might be at a different spot in his collegiate career that he wants more minutes and more of a role than that, than what you're going to get, you know, taken away from Hawkins and kind of Kevin Overton, that area. So,
yeah,
I don't know how much of a legitimate threat that kind of is. I think you still have 4 or 5 spots open.
All right, say that again. Sorry.
But I think you still got 4 or 5 spots open, and this is where you got to try to build the depth of your team.
Yeah.
And I think it's still the getting used to the new transfer portal, because 5 years ago, you look at a team and this is like your team for the next 3-4 years, and you got 5 seniors right now. Yeah. And if you get great, that's a 6th. Toppin would be a younger sophomore dude. You still got Darian, Kevin Overton, Emily. But it's worrisome just that you got to go big time portaling again next year. Just because there's not that stash of dudes that are possibly going to stay, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
It's hard to get used to.
Yeah, hard to get used to. I do like the. I like everybody else. I would love to have Moretti, the Moretti family, back in our lives. So it would be kind of fun to get him as a backup option. I'm really curious to see how, you know, how this falls out with JT and Great. You know, if you're able to land both of them, that'll really get me revved up for the season, be really feeling good about where you're at. And then just, fill out that roster with some other guys. You want to be a deep roster. Last year you felt, you know, when it came down to it, you had like 6-7 guys that you kind of trusted. Especially, you know, losing Cambridge to injury, Warren Washington getting hurt at the end of the year. And so you want to be prepared for that, have guys who can come in and get valuable minutes in case you do lose somebody to injury. And so, there's 5 spots to fill. Feel pretty good about where we're at right now with the players that we're looking after. Feel like we're in good shape with a lot of them. And so that's kind of where we're at right now, basketball. Of course, you know, if a bunch of transfer news comes out, maybe we'll hop on here next week to cover any commits or whatever we have. Right now, we're just kind of monitoring it as everybody else is. We'll keep you up to speed with anything as news comes along. Any other basketball stuff you want to get to this week, Dustin?
No, just stay patient out there, people.
stay patient out there. Don't fall, you know, don't panic. The staff has a plan, and they're executing it. And so just trust and believe in the staff. The process has worked out one time already, so there's no reason to believe it's not going to work out this year. Right quick, though, we're not going to do a whole long segment here, but we are going to talk a little bit about Texas Tech football and Texas Tech baseball, as the NFL draft was this past week. And so we wanted to give a shout out to Rabbit Taylor. Why can't I think of his actual name? I just call him Rabbit so much. Dadrian Taylor Demerson.
There you go.
And Miles Cole, both drafted in the NFL draft in Detroit this past weekend. Dadrian was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, so looking forward to getting to watch him play for the Cardinals. And Miles Cole was drafted by the Jaguars. So two guys that you kind of expected to see their names called getting drafted, and a bunch of other players. Not going to go through with all of them, but several players signing undrafted free agent deals across the NFL. So shout out to those guys. And then real quickly, Tech baseball, the roller coaster continues. Texas Tech, after the tough series against Arkansas, I came back and swept West Virginia. You're feeling good about yourself, and then you lose to New Mexico in a midweek 17-3, which, why the fuck did you play that game? And then you get swept by Kansas. And so, the you know, every time you kind of start to get some confidence in this team, bad things happen. Dylan Maxey takes a brutal pitch to the head. This just team hasn't had any good luck this year. I had several injuries. Shadow jumping in here again. She wants to get her Texas Tech baseball thoughts out. But yeah, and then we got a midweek win over UTRGV yesterday. So any Tech baseball thoughts you have here, Dustin, as this pretty brutal season just continues?
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago, you were feeling great. You just swept West Virginia coming off your best weekend conference series. And then you get blown out by New Mexico. Like, that was terrible. And then you get, like you said, swept. Like, going a four-game losing streak there. And, like, I know beating UTRGV this week got this team 30 wins. Got Tadlock his 450th career win here. So, like, big number. I think this is, like, your 10th straight season with 30-plus wins, which is a huge, crazy number. And I think that we're having like a down year with still a 30 win season, just because the expectations for us are higher. I still think if we can claw our way into it, we could be a 3 seed and get into the tournament. And really, like, at this point, that's just all you want. Just get in and then see if you can mess things up from there.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. You know, you got a big opportunity again here at home this weekend. The conference leaders in Oklahoma come to town. That's a series that you can kind of feel like you get yourself back on track. You have Oklahoma State, who's another team at top of the conference. So you could put together a couple nice weekends here. And then you end the season with like a Arizona State and UNLV thing, which is odd.
Weird.
But, you know, other opportunities to get some solid wins. So, it could, you know, it's been a streaky season, but if you put together a few good weekends here down the stretch, you can feel good about yourself heading into the Big 12 tournament, kind of know what you need to do to secure a bid to the NCAA tournament and see where it's at. It's just, I'm not super locked in. I gotta admit, you know, if Tech baseball can't hurt me, if I don't let it hurt me and
right,
what I'm doing right now, enjoying my weekends instead of just paying attention to whatever disaster this baseball team's going to be. So, I know a lot of fans are frustrated with it. We'll maybe dive into it a little bit more once the season concludes, but right now that's where we're at. Oklahoma series here. Last time we'll face them as Big 12 conference foes here at Lubbock this weekend. So if you can get out, support, should be a nice weather weekend. So, get out there, enjoy the beautiful Lubbock spring weather. Watch some baseball. But other than that, that's everything we've got for us Texas Tech related this week. Maybe we'll be back next week if big news on the transfer portal front happens. If not, then you might hear us take another week off and hop back on when we have more news to talk about. It's just that time of year. Tech news is slow, and so we don't want to come in here every weekend and just have 15 minutes worth of things to discuss. Rather, sit back, wait, get out a little lengthier of an episode. No, this one's been short. But before we get out of here this week, Dustin, you got a final shot for us.
Just wanted to hit on more NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
We already got some series wrapped up. You know, here LeBron Lakers got gentlemen's swept.
God, fuck Jamal Murray. I just want to say this real quick. Jamal Murray is like a freaking average-ass dude in the regular season. And then all of a sudden, every playoff
game. Every fadeaway game winner now. Yeah, I didn't know if you were up watching that game at 11:30 when they won.
I was like, all right. I didn't really want to watch because I figured the Nuggets were going to go ahead and gentlemen sweep. I'm glad the Lakers at least got a win. But then I was like, oh, shit, maybe the Lakers can win this and get it to a game six. And then that bum Jamal Murray, who can only play good in the playoffs, apparently. Never been an all-star, Jamal Murray, but yet in the postseason, he turns into a freaking...
Yeah. So what do the Lakers and LeBron do now? Darvin Ham might be out.
He should be. He's fucking awful. I'm sorry.
Mike Malone was coaching circles around him.
The Lakers, like, dominated the first halves in this series. They... Like, every halftime, the Lakers were up. And then the second half comes out, and it just completely flips the script.
And like, even, like, third quarters would be fine. And then the fourth quarter, you could just see it coming.
Yeah, you know, part of that is just, like, the Nuggets execution's fantastic. Like, when you have a player like Jokic, he's going to make the right decision, like, all of the time.
Yes.
And that's very frustrating when you're a defense. It's like you play everything right. And then Jokic just makes like this incredible pass or this incredible shot or gets the team into the right thing. So you're basically having to be perfect down the stretch. And that was what's the frustrating thing is like the Lakers were pretty much perfect down the stretch, except for like LeBron misses an open three. Now Jamal Murray can, you know, kills them. LeBron ties the game. Lakers had used all their timeouts at that moment. So you don't. You know, so Jamal Murray hits another crazy shot, but you can't go reset the ball on your side of the court. So, Darvin's just, some of the adjustments, he doesn't really seem to counter anything that the Nuggets, which Malone was just like, hey, let's see what they do in the first half, and then we're going to figure out a way to exploit that here in the second. And Darvin just never accounted for that kind of stuff. So, a fun offseason with LeBron, see what he does. There's so many questions. Is he going to go try to play somewhere with Bronny? Is somebody going to try to draft Bronny to get LeBron to come there? Are the Lakers just going to do it? You know, are the Lakers just going to be like, hey, we'll give you money because we pay superstars and we treat them here? So,
yeah,
I'm interested to see what happens.
It's a really interesting position with Bronny.
It is. And the crazy, LeBron was really good this series, I thought.
He was amazing. He averaged like 30.
He was. I mean, that last game, the biggest play was Anthony Davis had somebody bump into him and his whole body shuts down, apparently. And so he was just like a decoy out there. He couldn't do shit. And LeBron just had to carry the team.
Yep.
Austin Reeves gave him some good minutes there. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, when you've played the Nuggets 12 times and only beat them once. You're obviously doing something wrong, so I don't really know if running it back's the answer. Maybe they can go make a trade, get a player that can come help, or I don't really know what it is, but we'll be curious to see. Any other playoff thoughts you got?
Mavericks are in a dogfight with the Clippers. That's been a fun series to watch. Like, you go from down 21 to up one or two at some point in that last game, and Kawhi's in and out. Now Luka's got a bum knee, but still playing. Kyrie and James Harden are just going back and forth, like making ridiculous layups. Like, it's been fun. Almost going to be sad to see one of them have to leave.
The trilogy, the third part of this, the battle between these two teams. Clippers have had very different iterations of the team. Same with the Mavericks. But yeah, it was really fun, that crazy 31-point comeback. Kyrie hitting one of the craziest little layups
I've ever seen.
That was a crazy
layup. Yeah.
And then two people who get clowned for their playoff performances all the time, and Paul George and James Harden were the ones who closed that game out.
Yeah.
Really fun series. I think everybody expected that one to be really fun, and it's lived up to the hype. And so, been fun to watch. Kyrie's just been pretty stellar this postseason. I've really enjoyed this playoffs. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun first round series. The freaking Knicks and Sixers has been chaos.
Yes, awesome.
They've had two games that were like comfortably in hand, or not. I wouldn't say 5-6 points is comfortably, but with
should
like
be over,
seconds
yeah.
left, it in the NBA, it should be over. And somehow the other team won both of those games. Knicks did it in game two. And then the Sixers did that in game five to stay alive. Joel Embiid's been battling Bell's palsy, a sentence I never thought I would hear in the NBA playoffs. The Bucks are without Giannis and
but still winning
Dame
somehow.
And still somehow beat the Pacers last night. Celtics look like they're about to put Miami away, but Kristaps got hurt. And so that's a wrinkle into that series. I still think they'll finish off the Heat, but. What else? Cleveland and the Magic. Really haven't seen any of that.
Because they're on NBA TV.
didn't even
know that. At like 5 in the afternoon.
You could tell me that series was 3-2. You could tell me that series is over. And I would tell you, okay, cool.
Reminds me of like every playoffs in the NFL when either Cincinnati or Houston gets the Saturday 1 o'clock window that people don't even know is on. Like, that's what happens when I get home at 5 o'clock some of these days and the Cavs and Magic are already on NBA TV.
Let's see. That's the Eastern Conference. Who do you got out of the Eastern? You think Celtics are going to go all the way?
Yeah, everybody else is just like too hurt or just not as good. Like, so Celtics, even though without Porzingis, they're still just a little, a little better than everybody else.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anybody's really going to test them. Knicks, Celtics in the semis would be fun, I think.
Knicks are the only other really good team.
So, be interesting there. Western Conference, you know, Pelicans, see ya.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. No Zion, but I thought, Thunder are very interesting. They're very young. We'll see how they do in the second round. Surprised that they put away the Pelicans with that kind of ease. Timberwolves putting the Suns away with the sweep, and now the Suns.
Oh no, man. The Suns!
What a disaster for the Suns!
And they don't have anywhere to move, like with their roster.
They got
to
trade somebody. That's the only way.
Kind of can't.
They can't. Well, nobody's gonna take Beal because Beal sucks. You don't want to trade Booker, but maybe Kevin Durant's like the only player you can.
He's the only one you can get rid of.
Yeah.
If he's going to
want to get out, let's see what he does.
They just signed Grayson Allen, so there's rules you can't trade him right now. So they're screwed. They're just going to make a coaching change because they can't do anything else. They don't have draft picks. They just got to run it back and hope for better.
It's going to be a disaster if they do that either way. Either way, going to be fun to see what they do this offseason. The series that I think like might be the most fun series besides like Nuggets Celtics, if that's the finals, is this Nuggets Timberwolves series here coming up. I think that's going to be awesome. Ant really coming into his own this postseason. He was shit talking Kevin Durant like nobody's
big
business
time.
As he was sweeping his ass,
dunked on him multiple times.
Rudy. I don't like Rudy Gobert, but he can at least cause some problems with his length and his defensive abilities against Jokic, maybe to, slow that offense down. Ant could be the best player on the floor even any given night, just kind of on one of those nights where he's feeling it and take over. So interested by that series, but
that should be the best. Yeah. Second round for sure.
Oh yeah. I wish that was like the Western Conference Finals, but anyways, we'll take it. It's been a fun postseason. A lot of good games, a lot of crazy endings, and that's all you can ask for at this time of year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, enjoy the NBA playoffs. Hockey's going. There's lots of good things happening. Baseball's, a month into the season. So, lots of things to watch. We'll be here on our final shots to kind of recap whatever interesting is going on, especially in the NBA playoffs as we continue to watch that. But that'll do it for us here at Tailgate Talks this week. Thanks for hanging out with us here at the tailgate, and to catch everything we're doing throughout the rest of the summer, you got to give us a follow. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us a five stars for the tailgate, please. And if you listen to us on Apple, we always appreciate a review there. Also, follow our social media accounts. We are on Twitter at @tailgate_talks. We also have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel. If you want to give those a follow, we would appreciate it. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us this week. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.